I'm Christine Dean, and this is Live from Studio A. And we have a special session here today with a group that has been in Duluth for 20 years, and they are going to retire on a high note, I would say. It is a... and Megs David is here with members of her chorus, Sing a Women's Chorus. Welcome, everybody.
Thanks for having us.
Well, I'm so excited that this worked out. So you've been doing this chorus for 20 years, Megs, and the cast of singers has changed a little bit through the years. Has anybody in this room been here the whole time? Nobody? Okay.
One has been here for 17 years.
Wow, that's pretty impressive.
Kathy.
That's pretty impressive. I know a lot of these faces from seeing shows through the years. Mm-hmm. So people have been in the chorus for a while.
And absolutely.
And, well, why don't you get started with a song, and then okay. We'll come back and talk about whatever right. You want to talk about.
I'm going to start with Stars Will Fade. This is a song I wrote. The rhythmic basis for it is a traditional timeline from Ghana.
Stars will fade, sun will come.
We miss a pitch there. We like to start over if things don't go well.
Stars will fade, sun will come. We will know tomorrow.
Sorry, that was me. You know, it's weird being in here. And one of the rules of the chorus is I make the most mistakes. And I know what's happening to me is it's a small high section.
It's also a jillion degrees in here because Our fan is not working at the moment. So so we've got that to deal with.
You're right.
Stars will fade.
I'll let you find it.
Stars will fade, sun will come, we will know tomorrow. Stars will fade, sun will come, we will know tomorrow. Stars will fade, when darkness runs, will we know? Someday comes, stars will fade when darkness runs. Will we know when someday comes? Rise with the sun, day has begun. We put our dreams behind us. Rise with the sun, day has begun. We hold our dreams within us. Stars will fade
at daybreak.
Sun will come
at dawning.
We will know tomorrow. Stars will fade
at daybreak.
Sun will come
at dawning.
We will know tomorrow. Stars will fade.
Very nice.
All good. All good. We never worry about what happens. That's one of our main rules. You know, we're not a professional group. We have a variety of people coming in and out. A small group like this changes everything for us. And part of being a community chorus, in my mind, is letting go of the tension. So when things happen, we just go.
And that is, you know, when you founded this, part of it was as a community ed program, and it was to encourage people who might have been fearful of singing or didn't think they could sing to kind of give them that ease and give them that opportunity.
Exactly. And going to say my famous words here, too. Before we perform, I always remind the singers that when you're performing, you get this big adrenaline rush, but it's all of the thrill and none of the danger. So when you make a mistake, nobody gets hurt.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I've heard some very lovely performances from you, again, including that Sacred Heart one at Homegrown, and I could tell it was very emotional for you. And you kind of took time throughout the evening to talk about the history of the chorus and things.
Yeah.
And I also would like to give kudos. I'm not sure of your name, ma'am, but you were wearing a Kiss T-shirt, and I really appreciated that.
I did.
I took a picture. I tweeted it. What's your name?
Alyssa.
Alyssa. So Alyssa was rocking a Kiss T-shirt at the Sacred Heart Homegrown performance, and I thought that was pretty cool. I love the eclecticism of this chorus. Mm-hmm. And so you have brought in all sorts of different, you started that performance, I think, with a Dona Nobis Pacem, which sounded beautiful in that space. So you do everything from, classical music like that. But you bring in, this particular piece mm-hmm. was influenced by music of Ghana. Mm-hmm. And I love that about you. And tell me about how that all came about.
Well, we follow my tastes. I select all the music. The Ghanaian music is from my experience studying with Soa Mensah, who's in St. Paul. When I lived in Minneapolis, I got to study traditional music with him, drumming and singing and flutes and xylophones. And we do a few Ghanaian pieces. We have four, I think, for the concert on Saturday.
Nice. And you also, you've brought in your own compositions.
Yeah.
And one thing that I think is really fun and playful is that you've, you brought in local music. And I've always loved the mashup of Al Sparhawk's Don't Drop the Baby and Gene Ritchie's What'll I Do with the Baby?
Yeah.
you have a lot of fun with the music that you do.
Yeah, we do.
Mm-hmm.
We do.
So at its peak, how many members did this group have?
At its peak, we were just under 40.
And I think you mentioned the last time you were here that when you started playing Homegrown was when more people started to be aware of you. And
yeah, it's true.
So tell me about that.
So we, for the first almost 10 years, I actually started in my home for the first 2 years, had about 5 people. Then I moved to community ed, got a few more people, and I was still learning how to teach, how to direct, how to arrange. The singers were learning how to sing. It was drawing more inexperienced singers at the time. And we would just, at the end of the year, we'd have a recital in our classroom. That was it. And I knew that if we wanted to get out and perform, that it meant extra work for me, so I was a little hesitant. Then at a certain point, I applied for a job I didn't get, that, and so I had more time. And I thought, all right, we're going for it. And we started out with a half-hour show at Carmody's. A show at Carmody's, and we had a half an hour worth of music, and a couple of my friends came a half an hour late, show was over. But from there, we went the next year to Homegrown, and it allowed people to know who we were, both because they may not have heard about us, and also I think that hearing us dispels the stereotypes of what people think we might be.
Well, and I think that's what is so fun about it is that, you didn't say, we're a chorus, we can't play in bars. You said, we're a chorus, let's play in bars.
Right,
let's play at Homegrown.
Yeah.
When you entered Homegrown, did you get accepted the first time? They
said,
let's do it.
Homegrown has been great to us. Mm-hmm. We owe it all to Homegrown. I didn't have a recording of the group. I had my, demo recordings of arranging the songs, and I sent in something and just said, hey, maybe if you would let us sing, we'd like it. They were great. They put us on Experimental Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And it went really well. We were in Sacred Heart, of course, which made everything better.
Mm-hmm.
And I signed up for Homegrown because the people that are in Homegrown are my friends. This is my community. I wanted to put us in that community of musicians.
Mm-hmm. And again, as I mentioned, and you've covered some local music as well. You've covered mm-hmm. that Al Sparhawk song. I think is there other local music that you've covered?
No, but we have, we are on Dan Dresser's Suffrage recording. And,
right. Yeah, you actually have been included in other performances, which has been really special to see that. I think you came back. Was it Galen that you came back to play with at Sacred Heart?
Yeah,
she was
Galen and Dan, actually.
Galen and Dan, yeah. So you contributed to that performance as well.
Yeah.
I really feel like you kind of have this really special niche in our music community, and I think that's really fun.
I think we do.
Yeah. And you've collaborated. I was putting you on the spot before the session. I'm like, okay, let's talk about all the people you've collaborated with. And then you were like, oh my gosh, I don't know if I can remember them all. But so you've collaborated with so many people through the years.
Yeah, we have. Todd Gremmels for Todd Gremmels and Friends show. He was a blast. Also, of course, with Soa Mensah, my teacher, on a number of occasions. And that has included the Harbor City International School African Music Ensemble with Darren Bergsven, and also over at St. Scholastica with Soa and Jeremy Craycraft. Galen, Dan Dresser. We actually sang backup for Lo on a homegrown show, which was when I started kind of listening through all their songs and picked up Don't Drop the Baby. Daniel Oyinloye, sorry. He came this year just to try out a song with us, and he also made our music video. That was a great collaboration with him. And we rehearse in the Ordinese Middle School, and we've sung with the sixth grade choir there with Sheila Schusterich, their choir director.
Nice.
Yeah.
Why don't we hear another song, and then we'll come back and chat a little bit more. What do you want to do next?
We're going to do The Sun Rises. This is the summer solstice piece from my Complaints for All Seasons suite. This is just this time of year, as in yesterday on the weekend when the sun came through my dark curtains at 5:50 a.m.
The sun rises so early, I'm still sleeping, but daylight beckons me.
Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on.
Leave your bed and seek the morning, but I can't wake up and I can't sleep. The sun finds me out, but I'm not ready for a new day. I'm not ready. Step outside, the day yawns wide. The sun rides high over my head. The world is washed in light, the colors sparkling bright, but something isn't right. What happened to the night?
I love that. That's wonderful. And it looks like that was included on your Sing a Women's Chorus recording. You did one album. Tell me about that.
It's an EP. There's four songs. Is it four songs? That was a really fun experience. It was on my list of dream things I wanted to do a lot because I wanted to make the video of the limousine song, and I knew that we had to record first.
That was so fun. I'm remembering that with members of the chorus starring.
Yeah. That's on YouTube. Just search Sing a Women's Chorus, Limousine Song, and you can see us acting silly at Ordine East and pretending we're rock stars in a limousine. Yeah. It was super fun. The song was written, I wrote it following a gig we had at a preschool where someone said, oh, there's a limousine in the parking lot at that we went out to lunch. And I thought, oh, that's hilarious. I can see us in a limousine. So
if there's one big enough to fit you.
Yeah.
So you did the album and you worked with some heavy hitters, Jake Larson, Eric Swanson. You did it at Sacred Heart.
Yes.
So what made you decide to do the album? I know this was a few years ago now.
Well, you know, really the prime motivator was to get that video made because I had that in my head for years and I kept telling the singers, we're going to make a video, we're going to make a video, and I kept not doing it. And then I figured while I was at it, we should record some of the songs. And also, we wanted a record of ourselves just to know that we were here and what we sounded like.
So you made the decision to bring it all to an end on the 20th anniversary, which seems kind of fitting. That must have been a difficult decision.
Yeah, I actually decided last year, right around homegrown. But I knew I couldn't just, finish homegrown and say, okay, everyone, bye. So, and it was coming up on the 20th year, and it felt like a good time to finish. I have other things going on in my life, and... You know, whenever you make something, there's a point when you know that it's done. And it doesn't feel done in my heart. It doesn't feel done in my relationships with the singers. But as a creation, I feel like it's finished.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's something about knowing that even though you're letting go of something that has meant so much to you,
right?
That's kind of a part of life. We have those transitions, and recognizing them and being able to go forward with them is kind of an important thing. So I'm glad that you kind of gave yourself a year to wind it down and give everybody a chance to kind of get used to the idea and celebrate.
Yeah, exactly. This show on Saturday is going to be so fabulous. We're going out in style.
Wonderful.
And we do sound really good, these days, and we have a lot to offer. We're singing. I had no idea we had this much music. We have two 45-minute sets, and that's not even everything we know right
now.
Wow. Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
So what's ahead musically for you? What do you think? I'm assuming that music will continue to be an important part of your life.
Yeah, I am a musician. I've been writing songs since I was about 10 years old and started, the singer-songwriter kind of performing in my teens. I'm going to take some time off. What I'm doing to entertain myself as a musician right now is I'm learning to play trumpet, and I'm having a blast with that. I love brass band music, and if there are any brass players who in a year or so want to lead me into that kind of music, I'd be really happy. I've been playing not quite a year now. My girlfriend's not complaining as much as she was at first.
So either she bought your plugs or you got better.
I got better.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. So I'm putting people on the spot here because I didn't prep for this. Is there anybody from the chorus that would like to say anything about what this has meant to you, or anybody feel like they can? Okay. And what was your name again?
My name is Kathy.
Kathy, and you're the one that's been in it the longest
and
of everybody that's in the room.
I've been in it the longest.
Mm-hmm.
And I was.
You can get a little bit closer to the microphone.
I was one of the inexperienced singers that came to the group that Mags had mentioned in the beginning. I hadn't done any music. I didn't know how to read music. I hadn't been in a choir at all. I was too afraid to try out in grade school. But because of my daughter asking me if I wanted to take a community ed class, I ended up going into singing, and it's been really a fabulous, wonderful part of my life, and I'm just so grateful that I got to be part of this. What I've really liked about it is the diverse group of women and the sense of community building that Megs has done with this group, going out into the community and just being with all the women every week has been very special. And I don't feel like it's finished, but I feel like it's complete.
Very nice.
And there's a real bond that we'll always share, and we'll always have the songs in our heart.
Well, thank you so much. Yeah. I appreciate you making those comments. Well, we have time for one more. What would you like to finish with here?
We're going to finish with the Fallow, which is another one of my songs, also on the EP. Just so everyone knows, I will be giving away these CDs of this at the concert because you get a price break at $500, and I overestimated our ability to sell or give those away. So come and get your CD. Let's see. Yeah, we have enough time. This is a song about letting things go and resting for a while. I wrote it a couple of years ago. I was sick. I got sick the afternoon of our homegrown show, and I spent the rest of the week in bed and wrote this song while I was there.
Where the earth lies fallow and low, don't assume the soil is barren just because it doesn't show. When you peer beneath the surface, you will start to see the purpose in the life that is stirring down below. So rest, rest now. Rest here while you can. Rest, rest now. Take a lesson from the fallow land, where the the ground is tangled with weeds. Don't assume the land is worthless. It still attracts the bees. Effort is no measure of the things that we should treasure. Step back and take a look for what life needs. So rest, rest now. Rest here while you can. Rest, rest now. Take a lesson from the fallow land. When it feels like something won't grow, don't assume that it won't happen just because it's going slow. Seeds take time to open, then roots will slowly thicken before they break the ground and start to show. So rest, rest now. Rest here while you can. Rest, rest now. Take a lesson from the fallow.
Let us sing a women's chorus live from Studio A. Many members from the chorus, not the whole chorus, but several of the members. And, of course, Mags David, who's been leading the chorus for 20 years. So you mentioned something about your dreams earlier. So mm-hmm. I'm curious, is there anything that was left unfinished on your list of dreams for this project?
Well, you know, the big dream that included Kyle was a collaboration show where I would work with a lot of different musicians to come in and do things with us that we don't usually do. That's maybe the one thing left undone.
Mm-hmm.
Small piece of it, though, now.
But it sounds like you did accomplish a lot of your other, you know, the video.
Absolutely.
You know, getting Kyle to be on
the
that
recording.
Song.
And getting to a level of music making that I feel is really excellent for a community group, or for anyone, actually. I feel like we've really accomplished that musical goal.
Mm-hmm. That must feel really good as you're getting ready to draw to a close.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Meg,
thanks,
just
Christine.
Both for coming in today and for the music for all these years. Thank
oh,
you,
welcome.
Everyone who made time in your schedule on this Monday to come in, ladies of the chorus, and Stacy for setting it all up. This has been a lot of fun. And
thanks for having us.
Today's Live from Studio A was produced by me, Christine Dean, with help from Casey Warnicki, with funding provided by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. To check out upcoming guests or to listen to previous sessions, go to KUMD.org and click on Live from Studio A under Programs. This is Live from Studio A on 103.3 KUMD. Thanks for listening.